I do like calling him Darren. I might start doing that. I believe it's pronounced Dare Ogunbowale, but I could be wrong.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me today is Nick Walsh as we record a Sunday Fun Day podcast. Walshy, what is up?
Not a ton, Schreck. It is it's Sunday afternoon for you. It's Sunday morning for me. It feels weird to be drinking coffee out of my Let's Talk Fantasy Football mug as opposed to, you know, throwing back a Budweiser. But hey, we're gonna roll with it. Maybe this coffee will get me real hyped up, and we'll move forward from there. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. We adapt and overcome. And coffee is, who knows what you have mixed in with that coffee, but I do respect the coffee. shout out here to start off your Sunday morning, Walsh.
Yeah, there's not a ton mixed in that. We're just going black coffee, but you know, when you got to be a productive boy on Sundays, you can't get drunk in the morning, I guess.
I respect the power move, Walsh. Not many would take the leap of faith that you have, but you've shown your true strength here. Walsh, we're here to talk part one of the NFC South, and we're talking Bucks and Falcons here on part one. Part two, we're going to talk Panthers and Saints for those that are more interested there. Tune into the second half, but Walsh, are you ready to jump right into it? Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. I mean, big changes for the Tampa Bay Bucs here in 2020, right? Tom Brady takes over at the helm. Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement. Jameis Winston is no longer with the Tampa Bay Bucs. We'll refer to him a little bit later in part two of the podcast. They got, obviously, their draft picks. We'll talk about Vaughn and some of these other guys here. But as a whole, the Bucs look a lot different in a lot of places. And at wide receiver, they look pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for a lot of reasons. You know, they were such a prolific fantasy offense last year, even though, you know, most people would say Jameis wasn't the best real-life quarterback. He was fantasy quarterback number five, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Which is, you know, it's wild because, you know, he threw 30 interceptions, the whole thing. Now this year we're going to see Tom Brady come in and you know, I think the expectation is Tom Brady is going to be a better real life quarterback than Jameis. Will he be a better fantasy quarterback? Will he elevate these fantasy targets? I don't really know. I'm not sure exactly how to go from there. But I think strictly from a Tom Brady perspective, this is the most that we should like him in fantasy in a couple of years, probably, right? Because he's got these weapons. You know, that was like a big thing for him last year, was it just seemed like outside of Edelman, he had no one to throw to. And now with him at quarterback seven in the seventh round, like, I don't think I'm going to be actively targeting him. But if he drops a little bit, like, I'll be fine with picking up Tom Brady.
I think I could fuck with Tom Brady if he was like a round nine QB and I ended up with like Chris Godwin, maybe Mike Evans, maybe a little bit of a stack. I think there could be some value there. That's probably where I'd fuck with him around round nine if I have one of these guys. Otherwise, like you said, not targeting him, but O-line, he's got a pretty good O-line. He gets some weapons. Like you said, theoretically should be the best. We like Tom Brady in a few years, obviously without the offseason, and I know some of these guys are working out together, but without with the COVID impact, I should say, not as much time together as they normally would have.
Yeah, definitely. That's a bit of a concern. And I know Brady's been like, you know, in the least surprising move of all time, Brady's been like getting in trouble and being, you know, like posting stuff about, you know, working out with his guys when the NFL told them like not to do it and stuff like that. But, you know, what can you do? I think an interesting thing from an overall team perspective with the Bucs is their defense was really good last year, fifth overall in Football Outsiders DVOA. And you wouldn't have known it from like the scores of the games that they were in, but it's because Jameis was turning the ball over so much. So with a safer quarterback, they might be in some much lower scoring games, I think, this year, which, you know, could have an impact on Evans and Godwin as well.
Absolutely. So, Walshy, let's start at the running back position, because I think when you, it's really two different stories when you look at running back and wide receiver, right? Running back, Ronald Jones, Kayshon Vaughn, and Dare Og something. I'm going to butcher the name. But we'll let's go with Dare. So you've got three running backs that I think you could really make an argument for wanting any of the three, because I'm not a Ronald Jones believer. You could make the argument, but he can't block for shit. So he's not going to be able to do that for Tom Brady. So I don't like that. Vaughn, all around good player. I think he's more of maybe a dynasty upside, slides into that Peyton Barber role with touches, so to speak. And we've watched Tom Brady make these irrelevant running backs relevant, which is where I think Dare could take some targets, maybe a la James White, something like that. But that's where I stand. I'm not going to draft any of them for the record, but from a fantasy side, that's where I stand.
Yeah, no, that seems pretty fair. And I do like calling him Dare, and I might start doing that. I believe it's pronounced Dare Ogunbowale, but I could be wrong. I mean, when you look at Jones and Vaughn, and Vaughn is actually going two running backs ahead of Jones, which is interesting right now, again, in PPR scoring. But, you know, when you look at them both going in the seventh round, I think there's some sort of upside for them. Dare's currently free. I don't know, like, how to – like, there's reasons to like all of these guys. So Jones – looked way better last year after his terrible rookie performance. They started using him in the pass game a little bit. He saw 40 targets. But the thing that concerns me is he's the previous regime's draft pick. You know, like Bruce Arians wasn't the guy who went out and got him.
Yeah.
They clearly don't entirely trust him, or they didn't last year. And now they bring in Kayshon Vaughn in the third round, who, you know, is a guy who can do a lot of things. So Vaughn is interesting, but also rookie in the COVID offseason, rookie with Tom Brady. Tom Brady likes trusting people. And that's where I'm like mildly on Dare as like a late round guy, because we were talking about Brady and his offseason workouts. Dare is the guy who's been at these offseason workouts, yeah, playing running back with Brady. Even though he wasn't really used at all, like in the running game, he only had 11 carries last year. He was on the field somewhere between 20 and 40% of the snaps each game. And he saw 46 targets. So maybe a little James White light for Dare Ogunbowale last year, but I think that's the optimistic look at it for him.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about it on the other podcast, Walsh, but he's free. So particularly at that price, you have nothing to lose. I'm going to double down Dare. Great option, I think. that's going to be my name for you all season long, sir. I think for the price like him, the other ones I think Ronald Jones has some recency bias for everybody. I've never owned him, but people have been burned there. And Vaughn, we'll have to wait and see. All right, Walsh, let's talk wide receivers. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Who do you like better?
I'm going to say Godwin on this one. You know, he's just the guy who's going to get more consistent targets, and the guy who's going to be getting the ball in his, you know, have more consistent opportunities. We know what Mike Evans is. He's that high A dot wide receiver last year, 14.1 average depth of target. And he was highly productive, but he was inconsistent week to week. If you remember, I think the first 3 weeks of the season last year, Mike Evans was like, he didn't do jack shit. And then, you know, I remember having people at work asking me, you know, do I sit Mike Evans this week, week four? And I was like, no, absolutely not. And that was like a 3-touchdown week for him. But, you know, like people were panicking, and rightfully so, because he's an inconsistent guy. So, you know, they're going wide receiver 6 and 7. So it's sort of, you know, pick your poison there. But yeah, Godwin's the guy for me. I am concerned with the fact that I think they'll be in more 12 personnel this year. With two tight ends on the field, and that's going to take him out of the slot. He played around 60% of his snaps in the slot last year.
Yep.
So I'm a little concerned about how that goes, but Chris Godwin's good. I don't think taking him out of the slot is going to, you know, ruin him by any means.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm way more on Godwin than I am Evans. You know, again, I'd say flirts right at that top five wide receiver mark. You know, the stat, I don't know where it came from in my research, so I apologize to obviously the source here, But he converted 86 of 94 catchable targets and posted a top six true catch rate, 91.5%. Sounds like it's from Pro Football Focus. But I don't have the note here, so I'm not 100% positive. So he makes it happen. He's really fucking good. Evans to me over Price. I know we said they're going almost back to back at wide receiver six to wide receiver seven. But Evans definitely overpriced at seven to me. I like him more as a high wide receiver two, maybe more around that 12 mark than I do at seven.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Should we touch on some of the other guys in there? Like, I doubt they're really going to become fantasy relevant, but
sure.
Tyler Johnson was the fifth round rookie out of Minnesota. And then they also have Justin Watson and Scotty Miller, who both like Watson had like 1 week last year or where he was relevant or a couple weeks. And then Miller's sort of like a speedster who people kind of like as a long-term prospect. But you know, I mentioned, I think there's going to be a lot of 12 personnel this year, but we'll see. Like, whoever ends up this third wide receiver is going to be on the field. So, you know, if it ends up being Johnson, he's a guy who mostly played in the slot in college. He's an interesting player. He was super productive at Minnesota, but the NFL scouts didn't like him as much. But, you know, I think if you just look at his college production, he's a really interesting guy. And then if it does end up being Watson or Scotty Miller, that's a situation where Godwin can kick back into the slot, you know, when
those
guys are on the field. So, yeah, we'll see.
Sweet. Tight end. Well, Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement, reunites with Tom Brady. I think, you know, I've listened to a bunch of shows, radio, podcasts all over the place, and it's really been the argument, has the time off hurt him or helped him? And I think it's going to be a win for like the first half of the season, give or take. And then I think we're going to see Gronk fall off a little bit. I think he comes back healthy. I think that relationship with Brady, huge help, obviously, with limited practice time for everybody. So star top maybe fades a little bit. I think his price is about right. He's coming off the board at tight end six. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, historically, drafting like a mid-round tight end is not a good idea. But, you know, I think you might be able to make an exception with Gronk just because but the reasons that you said. And you know, he was a guy who, when he retired, he was beat the fuck up. He looked like a bionic person out there, and he certainly didn't move like he did early in his career. So when you look at that time off, and I know there was, like, the whole big thing where Gronk was like, yeah, I, like, do a whole ton of CBD, and, like, that's made me feel better. Which I think, like, isn't – I mean, CBD, it's, like, you can buy it over the counter, so I don't
think – Yes, you can.
I don't think it's illegal for the NFL or whatever. But, you know, he's talked about just how he was, like, depressed and he was constantly in pain and all that kind of stuff, and how, you know, the year off really, really helped him recover. I'm closer to the year off is good for Gronk than it was bad for Gronk, for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you said, I think the exception to the rule on the mid-round tight end pick. As far as O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, do you have any interest in them at this point?
No, I mean, I would assume O.J. Howard will be – like, I would assume he'll get on the field. Yeah, and Brate will probably come in the red zone and vulture touchdowns from Gronk and Howard. As he does.
Some things don't change, Ross.
I mean, O.J. Howard was downright terrible last year, you know, like in just about every way. So, you know, who knows? Obviously not worth drafting, but still a guy that, you know, a lot of people thought was an elite prospect and had a chance at a breakout year last year. So don't give up on him so fast.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else here on the Bucks for the people?
No, I think we're all set. Let's move on to the Falcons.
All right, quick break, guys. We'll be right back, and we'll talk Falcons.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, guys, we are back. Time to talk fantasy football implications here for the Atlanta Falcons. Lots of big changes here for the Falcons, too, Walsh. It seems to be the division of change, if you will, at least so far in part one. They lose Austin Hooper, Devontae Freeman, Mohamed Sanu, Justin Hardy. They lose a league-high 258 targets from last year's team. And we're going to obviously talk about how it impacts this offense and everything else here. But they add Todd Gurley, which we'll dive into in a minute, the presumed starter at running back. But let's start at the top, as at least I always do. Matt Ryan finished 11th, a QB 11 in 2019. He's a non-sexy low-end QB one, I think, without diving too deep into it, no?
Yeah, I mean, we know what Matt Ryan is at this point in his career. I think, like, the Matt Ryan quarterback 2 years are past us.
Yeah.
You know, where he would just, like, kind of pop one of those off every once in a while.
Incredible.
Yeah. But, you know, he's getting a little bit older, but, he is what he is at this point.
He keeps his weapons, and I saw this stat. Well, it's not really a stat, but just a good note. He's set to play 11 of 15 fantasy-relevant games indoors, and then he gets one in Green Bay in early October, two in Carolina, and one in Carolina, one in L.A., and then a game in Arrowhead, which could be a shootout with the Chiefs. So considering what we know about Matt Ryan, not the worst things if you're taking a late-round quarterback.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely a guy that you're going to be able to plug and play in certain situations.
And Walsh loves to stream QBs, but we'll save that for possibly our boy Teddy Bridgewater in part two. Let's touch the running back here, Walsh. Todd Gurley has an extensive injury history, right? He comes from the Rams, 26 years old. When he's healthy, he's elite. Do you think he can get back to that here in 2020 for the Falcons?
I think he can be pretty good. I don't know if elite is it, but currently going off the board at running back 15, like, feels about right to me.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who was just obviously incredible in 2017 and most of 2018 before the injury concerns sort of came up. And last year, his volume wasn't too bad. He wasn't as good. I think, so it's always hard to decipher what variables are causing what, right? But, like, so 2019 also, like, the Rams offensive line fell off a cliff compared to their previously elite, structure the 2 years before. So yeah. How much of Gurley's decrease in efficiency was Gurley being hurt? Was Gurley getting older? Was the offensive line being worse? I don't know. I mean, he's going to a team that also doesn't have a great O-line. And really didn't do anything to improve it this offseason. So I think we need to look at this as probably a baseline of 2019 Gurley rather than elite Gurley again. But if the Falcons keep doing, like, their normal thing with running backs, which is sort of like a 60-40, like 65-35 split, which I would assume they're going to, like, I think – and also they're going to need to involve him in the pass game, which they normally do with their running backs. It was weird – that the Rams cut his targets so much last year. He averaged 64 per year the 2 years before and then only got 49 in 2019. So, 84 per year in the 2 years before.
Okay.
So significantly higher. I wrote that down wrong. But so if the Falcons are willing to feed him targets, I'm willing to draft him where he's going, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the ADPs, guys, obviously coming from Fantasy Football Calculator. So in full PPR leagues, Walsh, you've got Clyde Edwards coming off one pick after him. Would you prefer Gurley or Clyde Edwards?
Probably Gurley.
Aaron Jones going two picks before Todd Gurley.
Probably Gurley on that one, too.
And then one, two, four picks ahead, Austin Eckler before Gurley.
I think I'd go Eckler over Gurley. But,
yeah, I'm right there with you on all those. But again, interesting spot. He's priced about right.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. And he's pretty much right where he should be. And I'm a little surprised that Ito Smith isn't getting drafted. Did that issue your expectations as well? Or
yeah, I mean, I literally have here, like, for each of the I have Brian Hill, Ito Smith, and whatever his name is, Allison. I'm not good with pronunciation, as you guys can see. I literally have a line here on each of them why they're all bad bets, and I don't believe you should care. Which is sad to say, because Todd Gurley does have the injury history, right? So, like, who could be the potential? And I don't really believe in any of them. I guess Hill, I think, is probably has the best health history behind. Ito Smith has been injured a ton, and then I don't even know if Allison makes the team.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. It's a situation where the Falcons historically have used, like, a second running back in their attack, and I would think with Gurley's injury history, you would want to. But again, which guy is it? And then also, like, all the running backs who played for the Falcons last year, like, fucking sucked in the role. So, like, no one was productive. So you know, how are we going to, again, like, what's really, outside of that vacuum of targets that you talked about, like, what's really changed?
Yeah, nothing. I don't think you could predict it. And we watched the same thing last year with injuries. Like, oh, this guy goes in. Like, oh, now he's hurt. Let's just take the next guy off the bench. Like, nothing has changed about the Falcons, and there's nothing to lead us to believe that's changed. So I think, unfortunately for a guy in Gurley who does get hurt and you'd like to know who the next guy up is, you don't with any confidence. So, yes, the Ito Smith thing to me is wild. But that's what people do. That's fantasy football, baby. Well, so let's talk wide receivers. Julio Jones, he finished hot, averaged 104.3 yards over his final eight games. You know, he kind of set the pace for the team. And at this point, there's no reason to doubt that despite being 31 years old, he can't stay a top five fantasy wide receiver. You know, we let off with the fact that all these targets left the Falcons. He's going to continue to eat and get his. Nothing's changed for Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays 16 games, 160 targets seems pretty reasonable. You know, it's just one of those situations where there's no reason to get off of him yet. Last year was his first season under 1,400 yards since 2013. And last year he had 1,394 yards. So it's not like he was, like, real far off. Yeah, I mean, it's Julio. It's consistent production. It's maybe we've got, again, like, with Ryan, I think we've gotten past the point where, like Julio maybe has the upside to be wide receiver one, but like top five seems inevitable if he stays healthy.
Yeah. Barring health, like you said, I don't think it is what it is. We know what we're getting, and you don't expect a ton of touchdowns. If they come, it's a blessing. And that's what we say every year. They're impossible to predict.
There's going to be like 2 weeks where he has 200 yards and two touchdowns. And then he's going to get like maybe two other touchdowns on the entire season other than that. But yeah.
Don loves consistency, baby. Never forget it. Walsh, next up, Calvin Ridley. I had way more notes here, and I don't know why they're gone, so I'm slightly panicked. But he enters his third NFL season with a 76 for just over 1,000 yards and 9 TDs receiving line over his last 16 games. He has the least target competition of his career. We have all new targets opening up here. Big things coming for Calvin Ridley in this offense.
Yeah, this is, and you've probably heard the comparison before, but like this is like the closest thing that we have to like Chris Godwin last year, where just like the breakout seems inevitable. And obviously, yeah. Chris Godwin went better than I think any of us would have hoped. But, you know, Ridley is, he's going into his third year, and like you said, and just like he's gonna have the targets, you know,
it's a numbers game. Even if you hate him on a talent level, the amount of targets he's going to see is just, it's tough to argue with.
Yeah. And I mean, he's always produced when he's gotten more than like 6 or 7 targets in a game. So this is correct. A guy who we have a track record of him producing when he gets the volume, and he's basically guaranteed the volume. So it's like a no brainer. And I mean, everyone's on it, and like any fantasy analyst that you talk to is going to tell you like Calvin Ridley is going to break out this year, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Like it's not a case where you need to have a contrarian opinion on Calvin Ridley here.
Correct. Sometimes going with the flow is actually the right move, and Calvin Ridley is exactly that. And no one will apologize if it busts, because you couldn't predict it to go any other way barring injury. Well, the other guys here, Russell Gage, Christian Blake, last name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, the next three on the depth chart, pretty much non-factors in 2019. They combined for 63 receptions, 652 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think the rest of those targets goes to the tight end spot, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, if you're going to throw a flyer on anyone, it would be Russell Gage, because he's the guy who I think would be likely to start in the slot. But you know, Russell Gage had 2 double digit target games last year and didn't get above 76 yards in either of those games. So I wouldn't put too much stock into him as a target.
Yeah. And I didn't have him on my list, Laquan Treadwell here, but he's at this point, his career is what he is.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Tight end. I think you get fired up about tight ends, Walsh. Hayden Hurst comes over from the Ravens. Immediately becomes the tight end 1-4. this Falcons offense. We watched Hoop Daddy do it, go absolutely off. Through the first 8 weeks of 2019, Hooper led the tight end position in receptions, touchdowns, and total fantasy points scored. He was second in targets and receiving yards. While Hayden Hurst may not be Hoop Daddy, again, volume, opportunity, and I don't even know what his ADP is at the moment. Tight end.
Tight end seven, it looks like.
All right. I mean, I don't necessarily love the round he's coming off the board, but great opportunity, great offense. They also get the Seahawks in week one, so I think we're going to watch him fucking explode in week one, and it's just going to kind of roll from there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, he's another guy like Ridley where it just makes sense, right? The targets are there. The volume is there. He's going to be on the field a lot. And despite the fact that he's never had like a full-time role or really been super productive at the NFL level, he was a first-round pick. Like, this is a guy who has sort of a pedigree, and we know tight end in the NFL can take a couple of years to really get into it and become a productive player. So, you know, we're looking at Hayden Hurst as a guy where you're really not getting a bargain on him. Like, the market is aware of what Hayden Hurst has the potential to do this year. But it's also not a bad value for him. Like, obviously I'd prefer if he was going later. Yeah. But he's pretty much priced exactly sure. Right, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, unfortunately, like, we tend to try and skip tight ends at that price range, but based on the volume and the opportunity, you can't argue with it. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that's contrary to what we preach, but here we are. We're going to break the rule.
Yeah.
Walsh, you got anything else here on the Falcons?
No, I think I'm all set on them.
What I think you're truly excited about is to talk about the Saints, because last podcast we did together, you said that they were your Super Bowl champion pick, I believe, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. So that'll be a fun one. And I'm excited to talk about the Panthers in part two as well. An interesting team this year.
A very interesting team. Big fantasy implications really across the whole division. We are a lot of good talent. So that's what we in the business guys like to call a little bit of a teaser. So for that one, you're going to have to wait a couple more days. But this one will kick you guys off on Monday. And since that's all we have, guys, in part one of the preview, we're going to say peace out. So for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, he's Nick Walsh. I'm Nick Schreck. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.